This is the Loco FC Podcast. Here are your hosts, Wes Kerr and Misael Garzon.
Hey, Loco soccer fans, and welcome to another episode of Loco FC, discussing all things soccer here in the South Carolina Lowcountry. I'm Wes Kerr, alongside Mayover High School boys head coach Misael Garzon. Coach, we are getting down to it. Just a few weeks left here of the regular season. In fact, just 1 week left before we jump into the playoffs. And after a week of not much happening because of spring break and the RBC Heritage, it's been a fantastic few days of soccer here in the Loco. And going to catch a couple games this week, some standout performances in both. But I want to start with you because your Sharks just picked up another key win in Region 7-4A. 3-0 shutout over Lucy Beckham to move into second place in a very tight region. I think this team is showing some great form as we get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks again. Glad to be here. Thank you all for listening and tuning in. You know, we're getting to the tail end of the regular season and getting ready for the playoffs, which is the most stressful and exciting times in prep sports, especially down here. And yeah, last night, you know, Friday night, we had a big away game at Lucy Beckham. You know, very tight playoff race, as you said. Our boys came out very strong, you know, 3-0, comfortable win. You know, just a very strong performance overall by our players. Our defense was very solid, limiting Lucy Beckham to only 3 shots on goal. You know, none were really very dangerous. And then we had 14 shots, 3 goals. As a coach, you like to see a better statistic in that department. But getting a big shutout, you know, clean sheet on the road when you are in the middle of a playoff race between us and Lucy Beckham, and also getting a little sweet revenge. You know, the first time we played at our place, they beat us for the first time in their history. 2-0, so it was kind of sweet to get that revenge for the players, for the team, and, you know, puts us in a very good position as we head into this final week of regular season soccer here in the state.
It's never easy to win on the road in high school soccer, and having to go on the bus and travel all the way to Charleston, play a good Lucy Beckham team, that's an impressive all-around complete performance. A big-time win for the Mayover Sharks as they are playing some great soccer heading into the postseason now, 7-3. In conference play behind just James Island, and we'll get into the playoff races a little more going forward. But man, I think the Shark team's gonna be dangerous. I mean, you got the senior veterans and Ezekiel Chapelier, who will make sure to give it their all. They went in their careers the right way with a memorable run to state playoffs, and it would be absolutely huge to secure that home game in the first round if you can hang on to it. And I'm excited for this Buford team. The Eagles have been on a tear. In fact, let's talk about them now because I got to see them live here at the Nest, and what a story it was. The great Wayne Quinlan coming out of retirement as interim head coach to lead his Buford Eagles, the former Hilton High Seahawk coach and state champion, beating his former team at the Nest 5-2. So Quinlan, the former state champion over there on the island back in 2013, took the opportunity and led the Eagles to a huge road win. We will talk to him later on the show, but what an amazing story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for those of us who have been in the soccer game in the area, Quinlan is like the elder statesman. You know, he came from Columbia. He is a Buford High Eagle graduate, and he'll talk more about his story in the interview later. But, you know, he was a Hilton Headlet, you know, brought them the first public high school boys state championship in our area here in the Loco, and then went off and retired. But he's still been around, very active through his services through FCA. You know, he was very helpful when we made our state championship run. He spoke with me, gave me a lot of advice, and he's been very supportive of soccer throughout the years in the high school scene here, you know, even in his retirement. It was very interesting and shocking to see when I found out that he was on the sidelines once again, especially against his former school, you know, kind of helping out Buford and Coach Rollins, you know, right now as he makes his way back soon. And it was awesome, but it was a big win. You know, last time we were on the podcast, we spoke that Buford was kind of, you know, Buford and Hilton Head at the time were making a playoff push for that final playoff spot in the region. You know, and Buford came out 1-1 at halftime at the Nest. You know, Hilton Head is a very strong defensive team. I can tell you firsthand, they will sit in. They're a very disciplined, well-coached team that will sit in and make it difficult for you to create chances. And you saw that in the first half of the game, 1-1. And then second half, Buford just exploded for 4 goals, getting a big 5-2 road win to keep them alive in the playoff race, a very important playoff race. And we'll discuss the playoff race a little later. But, yeah, Coach Quinlan, you know that. And then Thursday night, a big overtime home win against Class 5A RB Stahl at home. You know, which is very good for them to get into this last week of the season as Buford is heading. So it was awesome to see Coach Willen, you know, even for just a short period of time, you know, fill in. It's great to see that relationship too, right, where You have a coach, and Coach Quinlan, who's retired, is still around, and he just gladly stepped in for Coach Rollins at Buford and just kept the boys going where they have already been the last few weeks. So that was a cool story for here in the local, for Locals fans, and you'll hear more about it in the interview later on. But Buford is right there, knock on the door, and they are pushing strong in this final push for a playoff spot.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And you know, Colton Ferries, who you may remember from his success in the football field this fall, helping lead the Eagles to a state championship appearance. And he was unstoppable. Two goals, including an absolute highlight reel coast-to-coast finish where he just danced past the defender and used that motor to score his second goal of the game. I really think they found something with him, and I really expect him to be a major factor going forward. This Buford team, I mean, they're so dangerous in transition. You mentioned the strength of that Hilton Head High back line, that defense. But, man, Buford was able to get out in transition, get some numbers as they're able to deliver some strong chances on net. And they have some weapons who know what to do with the ball, and they just have athletes. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport you have. If you have those athletes and you have a coach that will make those guys buy in, whether it's Coach Terry or whether it was Wayne Quillen this week on Tuesday, I mean, these guys are motivated, and what a great showing they put together for Quinlan going against his old team, and just an amazing story. But I really like this Eagle team. A lot of guys coming from other sports talk about the athletic culture that has been instilled. Mm-hmm. Baseball team got to the lower state finals last year. Football team, the state championship. Basketball team had a terrific run as well this past winter. And speaking of basketball, how about this Anderson Jones kid who we mentioned, Justin Jarrett here at Loco Sports, the founding member of the Anderson Jones fan club, who was just an absolutely phenomenal piece. Great yeah. hustle player on that basketball squad. And we're seeing the same thing here on the soccer field. Scored a pair of goals in that RB Stahl win. He was the glue guy with this hustle on the floor in basketball. And same story here. I mean, all-out effort every minute. And I really like this Buford team a lot. I mean, they're playing with some grit and some energy and getting hot in the right time. And that's what all the playoffs are all about.
Yeah, and Anderson Jones, a little interesting note here. Anderson Jones, when his family moved, because he also has a sister that plays at Buford on the girls' team, I actually coached him his first club season here in the area at Tormenta FC. Great kid, great athlete. Gives it all no matter where it's on the basketball court or on the soccer pitch. He's a great overall, just a perfect student athlete that you want. But yeah, man, I mean, like you said, it's they're pushing it in. Coach Wallace has done a great job throughout the season, the last 2 years, actually, you know, in the region, you know, and kind of building what they're leading up to now, you know, and it's going to be very fun to watch them now. It's not going to be fun for me Tuesday night when we host Buford, and, you know, they need to win to stay alive in the playoff race, you know, so that I can't say too much about that, but it's been awesome to see them play and just kind of see the results they're getting and kind of the turnaround and just the way they start the season to where they are now, you know, last Friday night, the 15th, they had a big region game away at Lucy Beckham, which they lost in penalty shootout. And, you know, I'm curious to see if that comes back and bites them. But like you said, Coach Quinlan stepping in, it's awesome to see a team that continues pushing forward when you have an interim coach stepping in to help out. It just tells you what Coach Rollins has done with that program and also Coach Quinlan, what his ability is to do to continue that going. And, you know, it's going to be fun next week. They have some tough games. They have Carlton County, I believe, Monday. They play us at Shark Tank on Tuesday, and then they have to travel to James Island to make up a game for one of our amazing rainouts. So if they do make that playoff push and they make it, they will have absolutely earned it because they are playing, you know, the higher tier teams in the region to make this playoff push. So it'll be fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, Colleton's a must win for them, but May River, I think that should be a terrific matchup. And if you can pick up those two wins, you're going to carry some big time momentum heading into the postseason. And we'll see if they can get that going. And speaking of teams peaking at the right time, how about the Hilton Head Prep girls?
Yes.
A much-anticipated matchup. We teased it last episode, Hilton Head Prep and Hilton Head Christian Academy, two quality Skeezer girls teams in the Loco. And, you know, I expected a tight battle, but this one was all Hilton Head Prep. They absolutely controlled the play for all 80 minutes against Hilton Head Christian Academy. And this Dolphins team is looking dangerous. I mean, they were moving very well with the ball. They were the faster, more energetic side all night, and this was a 3-0 win. It could have been much bigger than that. I mean, they were setting themselves up with chance after chance, and this one, a couple beautiful shots that just missed, and Isabel Cunningham made some quality saves for HHGA, but this Prep team was playing some textbook soccer all night. I mean, accurate passing. Players were moving well without the ball, and they've got some terrific finishers on this team. Avery Alton scored one, nearly had a couple more. Katie Campbell with a beautiful free kick into the back of the net. Ella Clark had a goal in the second half. A couple of basketball stars there, too. And two seniors who will also be striving for a deep postseason run. I mean, this team is talented from top to bottom in the starting 11.
They are.
Ashlyn Parsick, who just signed a player at college soccer at Limestone, a terrific defender. Didn't allow many looks at all from a really strong Eagle offense. And this is a statement victory for these Dolphins as we get closer to the 3A playoffs. And it's always a tough draw against some strong competition like Porter Gowd and Pinewood Prep. But I think this team has the skill and the chemistry and the determination to do something special. And I wouldn't be surprised if to see them playing for a state title.
Absolutely. And we said it in the beginning in our first podcast, you know, Prep Girls, they have something to prove. You know, they went to the mountaintop last year and just fell short. And they are determined to go back and finish, you know, what they started last year. And you see it in their results. You know, it's not, you know, we were expecting a good close matchup. Christian Academy girls have had a very good season. They're a very strong team. And like you said, Prep just completely showed that they were the better team on the field and got a very comfortable 3-0 victory. You know, I think I've said it before. I've been on the bandwagon since the beginning of the season. They will be back in the state championship game, and I am curious to see how they come out because they have not let down. So when you're coaching, one of the things, when you're playing teams and you're having a lot of success, it's that struggle of keeping the team focused and the players focused on the main objective and the ultimate goal. And if you look at the results, look at their play, they have not deterred from their objective and out there and just putting on quality results every time they are on the pitch. I got to see Porter Gowd last week when they played May River here at the Shark Tank, and that's a solid team. You know, they're going to have a tough playoff race, and they know it in Skeez at 3A. But look, I said it from the beginning, I am expecting them to go back and contend for that state championship, and they definitely made a big statement against Christian Academy the other night.
Yeah, I agree. I think they will continue this momentum that they've established all the way into the playoffs. And I definitely agree that they can go all the way with the talent they have and the goal scoring ability and the strong defense led by Parsick and some others. So really like this HHP team. And I think they can take this one deep here in Skeez at 3A. And let's give a little shout out to a pair of your own May River Sharks who have earned a very prestigious spot at the North-South All-Star Game. Zeke Chapelier, senior captain of the May River boys team, and Abby White of the May River girls squad. And that's such a deserving honor for both. And I'm sure you're very proud of what both have accomplished this year.
Absolutely. Abby White has been a part of the May River soccer program since middle school for 6 years, a JV player, and then a four-year varsity player. She's the captain of this team. She's a great player. She's a great person overall. You know, we're classroom ethic, her work ethic on and off the pitch. So very well deserving to have this prestigious honor with getting such a North-South on the girls' side and on the boys' side. Zeke Chapelier, same story. He's been with part of our program since seventh grade for 6 years. He's a senior captain. He was a part of that championship squad as one of the freshman call-ups along with Colton Biney, who unfortunately is out for the year. So he was ineligible for this position, which I think he would have gotten as well. But it's an awesome recognition for these two players to go and represent for the South squad in the annual North-South game to end their careers as high school athletes. So congrats to them. Very proud of them as a fellow Shark. Having worked with these two students, I'm very happy for them. And I think we'll see more in the coming years because there is a lot of young talent in the high school league that is coming up in the low country. So we should see more players and continue to see players getting selected for these all-star games.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one will be headed over there to the North-South All-Star Game, our very own Misa Garzon, who will be there as an assistant coach. So awesome opportunity. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Very, very honored for the opportunity. I'll be the assistant coach for the South team alongside with the Ashley Rich coach, who is the head coach. And, you know, we're excited. I'm excited for the opportunity, you know, but, hey, it's going to be fun in June, and I'm looking forward to it. But I'm very happy for everybody involved and looking forward to a great experience.
Yeah, really excited to have these all-star games back. We've missed a couple because of COVID these last few years. So good to see those kids get an opportunity to be a part of that again and really be rewarded for all the work that they have put in and play against some of the best competition in the state and beyond. So outstanding stuff there. And let's now head over to the next segment, kicking it around. Let's talk about what the region landscape is looking like as we get ready for the playoffs. And just a week left, starting here in the boys region 7-4A, a big win from your Sharks, of course, to improve to 7-3 right now in second place, two games behind James Island at 9-1, the top spot, and I think the Trojans are looking good there. But you look at the battle for fourth place in that final playoff spot, three teams right in the hunt, and Lucy Beckham, Bluffton, and Beaufort High all separated by just one game, and Hilden High at 3-6. So this is going to go right down to the wire. I really like the way this Beaufort team is playing. I think they should beat Carlton County, and I think it could be a fun match with May River to close it out. But what do you think of this region heading into the home stretch?
I still think it's the toughest region in 4A for boys and girls, and we'll talk to the girls in a little bit. But, you know, last night, James Island beat Bluffton at Bluffton 2-1 in a close game. Bluffton was very competitive, but they just couldn't pull off the upset. But, you know, it's final week. We've had so many rainouts, so you have a lot of games being played next week. And honestly, James Island already clinched the region with their win last night, 9-1. They have two more region games remaining, but their region is there, so they'll finish to one seed. We, by virtue of tiebreakers, have pretty much secured second place with our win last night at Lucy Beckham. So those two spots are kind of already safe. But the third and fourth spot are the ones we have to keep an eye on. Like you said, Beaufort. Hilton Head Island was technically eliminated when they lost to Beaufort mathematically by the tiebreaker system. So it's down to Lucy Beckham, Bluffton, and Beaufort for the third and fourth spot. There is a scenario where you can still see Bluffton and Beaufort making it, you know, and Lucy Beckham getting out. Lucy Beckham has one more game left against Bluffton next Tuesday. That's going to be a vital game for both teams as Beckham is trying to secure their playoff spot. Beckham wins, they're in the playoffs. Bluffton wins, they step over Beckham, and then you have Beaufort's results versus us, Carlton County, and James Island determining what happened. So it's going to be very intense. It starts Monday night with Beaufort and Carlton County. And then Tuesday night, it's pretty much going to be Region 7-4A primer at May River. You have May River and Beaufort, which is always a tough matchup. Don't let the scores fool you. It's always a tough matchup. And then you will also have Bluffton and Lucy Beckham right down the road at Bluffton High School. So those two games will be happening simultaneously. Are going to be vital to see what the final playoff landscape looks in Region 7-4A.
Man, that's going to be a fun night. Going to be a great postseason race. Same thing they said to the girls' side. I mean, once again, looking like James Island, perfect 10-0, and they beat Bluffton 6-1 last night to cement that. Moves Lucy Beckham up to second place at 8-3 because they shut out May River in a tight 1-0 game. And it seems like the Sharks have kept it close against some competition, but I've just yet to find the consistent scoring, but looks like the window has closed for them. But Hilton Head Island, they appear to be on their way to locking down that four seed. We've seen some strong play at times of the Seahawks, but also seen that defense break down a few times too. But, I mean, this team knows that they can turn it on. I mean, Kit Sealback's squad went all the way to the Lower State Finals a year ago, and we'll see if they could put another deep playoff run here. But very intriguing, the region landscape over on the girls' side.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Lucy Beckham and Bluffton girls play Tuesday. We said it early, all the whole season, Bluffton and Lucy Beckham are going to play for that two spot, which is very important because it gets you a first round home game. And Bluffton's been kind of on the slide lately. They beat May River 2-1, but they've lost the last two games as well. A tough loss last night. But even a bigger loss for the playoff picture was losing to Hilton Head 4-1. And that's important because in our region, the tiebreaker system, if Hilton Head wins out and Bluffton loses out, there is a scenario where Hilton Head surpasses Bluffton because of the tiebreaker and finishes third, and Bluffton will finish fourth. But again, the games get played for a reason. Tuesday night is going to be vital. Bluffton and Lucy Beckham. If Bluffton can once again get another big win, it'll be on the road, which is always tough. And they can win, they will secure the second place in region. Otherwise, we got three teams fighting for three spots positioning. Unfortunately, May River, as you said, they played very close games. They had a very tough 1-0 loss last night against Lucy Beckham at home. They had a very tough 2-1 loss against Bluffton on Monday. They are out of the playoffs, but they can play spoiler as well still later in the season. They still have one more game with Hilton Head left. That could be a big game to kind of see where Hilton Head is seated. So the girls said as well, the girls region is one of the toughest regions in the state as well. And when you have the defending champions in your region, you have to bring your A game all the time. So it's going to be very fun next week, especially next Tuesday, when you have a lot of games that will determine playoff positioning in our region.
It's going to be exciting to watch. And a couple other Loco teams have clinched their spot in the postseason, including Battery Creek's girls, who locked down a playoff berth alongside the Whale Branch girls. So outstanding for both of those two squads. And maybe the best story so far this spring on the soccer pitch, how about those Richland Hardyville boys? Their first season after taking 2020-21 off due to COVID-19, and they have locked down a spot in the postseason. And what an incredible job Christopher Webb has done with this Ridgeland Hardeeville boys team. Outstanding to see them back in the postseason here in 2022.
Yeah, shout out to the high school alma mater, Ridgeland Jaguars. I'm a graduate of Jasper County High School 2005, but it's awesome to see what they have done. You know, and in 2A soccer, it's a seeding system. It's almost like the NCAA March Madness. They go into a meeting, they seed the team, so they will get a playoff spot there. They're currently ranked top 10 in the state in the 2A polls and the coaches poll. So they'll be in the playoffs, and that's an awesome job because all season we talked about, you know, they didn't play last year because of COVID. They had a whole year off. The previous season got canceled early. So you're looking at a year and a half, probably 2 years of no soccer. And for them to come back under a new coach and be able to achieve what they have achieved, it's very exciting. And same thing for Battery Creek girls. They're in a very tough region with Oceanside, Bishop England, and Magnet to clinch that playoff spot, to go to the playoffs. And the Well Branch girls, you know, they've had a good season. You know, we've talked about them throughout the year in 1A. So they are going to go. And then also Roll Live Oaks in the high school league and 1A boys as well. They are going to head to the playoffs. So it's going to be very fun, very busy for us on the podcast side to track all these teams in the playoffs in the public scene next in 2 weeks. But it's very fun and much congrats. And it talks about, you know, we said all season, the growth of the sport and the talent here in this area to see so many teams in different tiers in the public high school league making the playoffs and getting a chance to chase that title at the end of the season.
Yeah, this sport's on the rise, absolutely, across the Lowcountry, and just awesome to see a bunch of teams from across the classifications earn that spot in the postseason, especially Ridgeland Hardeeville, their first year after taking 2020-21 off, and just an amazing job from everybody on that roster to get to the point where they are now, and we will certainly be keeping an eye on them alongside our many other playoff teams. And speaking of playoffs, some late races going on the Skeezer side as well. John Paul II, the dominant team right now here in the local on the boys' side. And big game coming up for them against Hilton Head Christian Academy. Buford Academy's boys at 9-2-1 overall. Ian Leslie's doing an outstanding job over there. And Hilton Head Prep, as we mentioned earlier, I think they're the team to beat in the girls' Skeezer ranks. But Hilton Head Christian Academy also going for a great finish there in 2A. And they are looking to repeat as state champions. We've got some quality teams in Skeezer as well. Any that you have your eye on in these last two regular season games?
Christian Academy, you know, they beat Buford Academy this week 2-0. So that was a big win for them to kind of get them into second place of that very tough region, that three-man race between John Paul, Christian Academy, and BA. You know, John Paul and Christian Academy are playing up here next. That could very well decide the region. John Paul beat them the first time 2-0. John Paul has been the stronger team and the consistent team in that region. But it's going to be fun between BA and Christian Academy because they play the last game of the season, and that could very well determine playoff seeding. As you know, if you've read Justin's story of a while back about the Skeezer system, it's very difficult to figure out how the playoffs go and all that. I'm not even going to try and get here because we'll be here all day. But we do feel confident that those three teams on the boys' side will make the playoffs. Just a matter of seeding and how they're going to do. But I think John Paul and Christian Academy will be a very fun match to watch next week to see who wins that region. And then on the girls' side, Prep is just on all cylinders. I mean, what else can we say? Christian Academy will do well in 2A as well to look and repeat and get back in the state championship scene. But it's honestly in the lower state, it's Prep's girls to lose. And I'm going to be excited to see how they make their playoff run as they finish out the regular season here.
Yeah, I think they're seriously state title contenders this year. Absolutely. I mean, that was a statement victory over Hilton Head Christian Academy. I like Prep's chances of another deep playoff finish, and I think they could very well bring home a state title. Hilton Head Christian Academy, as we mentioned, looking for that second straight championship, and it's going to be fun to cover all these teams. I mean, playoffs are the best time of year. All of these fantastic loco squads in action, going for state titles at the same time, playoff soccer every night. It's one of the best times of the year to be a loco sports fan and to be a reporter here in the Lowcountry. So excited to see that get going as we get into May, and going to be just a fantastic finish all the way around. And someone who has always brought his best in the playoffs, that's the legendary Wayne Quinlan, former Hilton Head High Seahawk boys soccer state champion, and came out of retirement for one night to lead the Buford Eagles to what could be a season-changing win over his old team. You won't want to miss this interview. It's a good one. We'll be right back with Coach Wayne Quinlan right here on Loco FC. All right, we are now honored to be joined by Buford High interim head soccer coach and former state championship winning coach at Hilton High, Wayne Quinlan. Wayne, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Hey, Wes, thanks for inviting me.
No problem. And Coach, just awesome to see you back on the sidelines on Tuesday night coaching over at Buford High, playing at Hilton Head. What was that moment like to go back to the Nest where you had such a great career? And I'm sure that brought back some great memories coaching on that field.
Yeah, it was cool. And in the start, when it looked like a couple days out, we knew that this was going to happen. And it was just kind of surreal that the team that we were playing was Hilton Head. And I told the players before the game that it would be weird, but it's going to be okay. But it was different being on the other sideline. You know, I kept looking for the scoreboard, looking over my right shoulder for the scoreboard, because that's where it would be if I was on the home sideline. I had to look over my left shoulder to find out how much time is left. But it was fun. They were very gracious. They did a shout out on the PA before the game started, which I thought was, they didn't have to do that. That was very classy on their part. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I thought that was a great touch before the game. And yeah, what an impressive win for the Buford High Eagles, 5-2 over the Seahawks, and two goals from Colton Ferries, who we have come to know as a star athlete over on the football field in the Loco. But that same speed and explosiveness now we're seeing on the soccer pitch, a defensive back over there for the Eagles. Of course, Buford High getting to the state championship game in football, and now a great season so far in soccer. Colton Ferries has been exceptional and a great entire team effort on the field Tuesday night, and what a highlight reel coast-to-coast goal from Ferries in that second half. What a great showing from this Eagle team. How impressed were you of their performance?
Yeah, well, you know, since you mentioned Colton, he's such a great competitor. You know, I was also on the football staff, I have been for the last couple of years, so I know Colton pretty good. And he's such a hard player, such a competitor. And it was interesting because I have, in the course of the season with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is where I am now since I retired, I'm close to a lot of the teams over at Buford High. And of course, one of them is a soccer team. I do devotionals with a soccer team on a regular basis, but getting to know these guys has been pretty cool. And knowing Colton from the type of player he was in football and wrestling, and he just brings that competitive nature. I mean, I'd hate to play this guy in checkers because he's, you know, I can just imagine how hard he would even play something as silly as checkers. But it was funny because in the previous times I've been on the sidelines now for I don't know, a month or so with a soccer team, just helping coach at games. And I never was really crazy about the idea of Colton playing striker. I just didn't think he really had what it takes, and talked to him about that. And actually we went into that game and I wanted him to play a defensive center midfield player during the game. And he says, I can't head the ball. And I said, Colton, you're the biggest guy out here. You can't head the ball. And he goes, I just have my tonsils out today. So, you know, he doesn't want to jar his head and break his stitches loose and stuff. So I say, okay, Colton, you go back up top. And he knows, cause I've told him he knew going in that, I wasn't really impressed with what I saw at him at forward. So this is what this kid does in the second half. This is the goal that breaks the game, really breaks the game open for us. I wasn't impressed with his one-on-one ability. I wasn't impressed with his ability to play with his back to the goal. So here's what happens at the halfway line. He's got his back to the goal. He's got a kid on his shoulder. A high ball comes in and I'm thinking, well, he said he's not going to head it. What's he going to do? So he shoulders it. And shoulders the kid behind him at the same time. The ball falls behind the defender. So now that kid's out of the play. Colton spins out the other way, takes it on the run, and now he's one-on-one with the last defender. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he hadn't beaten anybody one-on-one all year long. And he trashes this guy. Just goes right around him and scores. And I was so excited for him. He just made a liar out of me. But that, you know, that's his competitive nature. And there's a core on this team that is really like that, very, very competitive. The kids that have come from football, wrestling, and basketball, they're very competitive.
That winning culture translates from sport to sport for sure. I mean, we've seen that in a couple different programs here in the Loco and at Christian Academy with all those girls programs, basketball, soccer, and very similar to now what we're seeing over there at Buford High with all those football players, those wrestling stars now going over and shining on the soccer field. And you were a former Buford High School graduate. And what does the history of this school mean to you? I mean, I love to see how they really showcase that in the school's design. And we got to talk about that before with Herbert Glaze over at Buford High. And tell me about your connection with him, Herbert Glaze, and what he has done with that track program and the special culture that the school has cultivated over the years.
Well, you know, I'm going to call Herb out because he was my 10th grade biology teacher. I've known Herb Glaze for 40 plus years, and he was actually on the football coaching staff he must have been in his 20s when I was a player there in the mid-70s, when I was a football player there in the mid-70s. So I go a long way back with Herb. Look, when I left Buford High, I had such a great time playing football there, and had such a great football coach, Fred Bradley, that the only thing I wanted to do was come back to Buford High School and be the head football coach. So I go off to college, go off to grad school, come back to Buford High, and begin my career as a teacher and a coach there. And did that for like 7 years, I think it was, before going off and spending some time at a few other schools. And then it's kind of cool because now it's full circle. In my role at FCA, I'm not so much coaching kids, although I do get to do that. I do get to coach kickers and punters and now a little bit of soccer. But it's more like coaching coaches and coaching the hearts and the minds of players, which is, you know, it's what we do at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We want to see every coach and every athlete grow in their relationship with Christ and the church. So this is a very special time that I've been given in my life and in my ministry that I'm so entrenched, particularly at Buford High School. I mean, I graduated there from 1976. That's where our other high school is my heart really going to be than Buford High.
Awesome to see you come back full circle to Buford High and such a legend. Herbert Glaze has just done so many amazing things for that school and the entire Lowcountry, and just an amazing example of a young man coming over here and what he has done now for a number of decades at Buford High. And so really, really happy to see what Herbert Glaze continues to do here for everybody in the Lowcountry. You've had such a memorable career, and of course you were there about 10 years ago at Hilton Head High when you led the Seahawks to that state championship. But what a moment that was, and take me through those memories of that team and your time coaching soccer over on the island.
Obviously, that team is very special to me. And if you recall, we went to the state championship game back-to-back years in 2012 and 2013. So there was a period of time when I got to Hilton Head, there was a steep up climb of our productivity on the field. And in their defense, prior to me being there, I think there had been a different coach like every year or every other year at Hilton Head. So it's not so much to say that I got the secret sauce, because I clearly don't. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed by any means, but there's something to be said for staying with it, you know, and having the same coach for a few years in a row. So it gives the kids an opportunity to buy into a style and a concept and sort of the mind frame of the coach. So it was like it was a process. Each year we improved by one game at the end of the year. So we lose in first year one, we lose at home in the first round of the playoffs. Next year we go one game further. Next year we go one game further. Next thing you know, we're in the lower state championship game. Next year, we're in the state championship game and lose. That 2013 team was the real upswing of that. And they were some really, really great kids. But the thing that set them really apart was they had a why. You know, Wes, if it doesn't matter why, then it doesn't matter how. So it's very important to establish a why within a team culture, a business culture, whatever it is. So that team's why are we playing? Why are we trying so hard? Why are we doing all these things for this old gray-haired man? And it was not to bring honor and attention to themselves. It was to bring honor and attention to God. So a couple days before the state championship game, a friend of mine goes, "Wayne, what can I do to help you guys? And I want to get you t-shirts or something." He bought the team t-shirts that said state champions in the date on the back already, and he bought them and gave them to me after we won the semifinal. And I just kind of hid them from the kids. And so it says Hilton Head state champions on one side, and on the front it says, "Look what God did." And I gave those shirts to the kids in the locker room before the game, and they were just blown away. And after the game, you know, this big celebrations, everybody's jumping and sweaty and climbing all over each other and dogpiling and all this stuff like kids do. And I reminded them about those t-shirts. And this is this is a moment that really sticks out to me from that day. They almost ran me over to go to their bags on the sideline to get those t-shirts. It was really incredible. That was the difference. I have to tell you, I've coached. There were some extremely good players on that team. So any of you guys who are tuning into this podcast, no knock on you, but I've coached better teams. At Dutch Fort, my top three or four or five teams at Dutch Fort would probably beat the Hilton Head 2013 team by several goals, like in a practice game. The difference was the why, because we beat an Eastside team that was loaded with club players, polished club players. You know, it wasn't like we manhandled them or dominated them. It was a 1-0 game. Chris McMurray scores on a penalty kick with, like, I don't know, 6-7 minutes to go. But it was all about their why.
Yeah, the will, the grit of that team to find a way and pull off that state championship victory. Just a really special group that you had the honor to coach. And you've been, as you mentioned, you've been a mentor for these kids on and off the field. And one of the programs that you've been a leader for has been the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and which has always done a fantastic job in teaching kids what really matters and creating a relationship with Christ that will last throughout your entire life. And tell me about how special that program is and how you have been a part of that throughout the years.
Well, I'll tell you how special it is to me. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from a letter. Don't worry, it's not going to go too long. Okay. It describes a coach. All right. It says things like, observe that each year he tends to pick out a limited number of players on whom he exerts his pathological need for control, demands that this coach be removed and only reinstated after a year long term psychotherapy for negative self-esteem, suppressing, pathologically controlling, passive aggressive, emotionally abusive behavior, blah, blah, blah. So like a three-page letter. A three-page letter written by a set of parents to a principal. Okay, here's another one. And this one is from a player to a coach. And this coach's stepfather had just passed. So it's a sympathy card. Okay, it's a sympathy card. And it says, among other things, I have no words to express how deeply sorry I am to hear about your father. As you've shown me, listen, in life, everyone must look towards the big picture. So I've turned to the Lord, hopefully to give back to you a fraction of the support that you have shown me. And it goes on to quote Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And the kid goes on in here and says, I didn't know your father. Basically is what he's saying. I didn't know your father, but knowing you, he must have been a really good guy. Okay. So both of those two letters are written about the same guy, and I'm that guy. All right, so I'm going somewhere with this. So the question is, how did I get from this letter to this one? Okay, and the answer is FCA. So I'm at Dutch Fort. I don't know what the date is on this. 2001, and it's the worst year of my life coaching. The kids hated me. I didn't care for them. This was their perception. It wasn't reality, but in hindsight, a person's perception is real to them. It's very, these were their feelings. And I quit, Wes, I quit three times that year. The AD would not take my letter, would not take my resignation. I remember after losing in the playoffs, I had my letter of resignation ready and I beat the AD to school that morning. I was so anxious to get it done. You might be too young to remember a show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? In Regis, whenever somebody answers a question, he goes, is that your final answer? Okay, well, I wrote final answer in big letters on that envelope and slammed it on the door. I was never going to coach again. At the same time, there's a guy named Carol Baker, who's the FCA rep for my school. And all this dude did was care and spend some time with me and pray for me and help equip me. He gave me a book called Kings and Coaches, which talks about coaching through the lens of the kings of the Old Testament, Saul, David, and Solomon. And it totally changed the way I coached. So I owe easily, 2001 to the last 15 or so years of my coaching career to FCA. So it was really a no-brainer for me that as I got to Hilton Head, I took over the campus huddle for FCA, started a coaches huddle for FCA. That's still very strong to this day, even though I don't even attend it anymore because I'm over here in Beaufort. We have another rep, Lisa, that does that. It was really apparent to me as I came to the end of, you know, I didn't have to end my career when I did. I'm only 64 now, so I was like 57, 58. My teaching certificate was running out, and I really didn't feel a strong pull to continue in the role that I was in. My pull was towards FCA. God made it very clear to me why I experienced all those things in my backstory to get me to this point to go into ministry with FCA, in particular coaches ministry.
What a great story. Thank you for all that you have done for these young men and building their relationship with Christ. That just goes a long way, and that will stick with them through the rest of their lives. So awesome stuff. And tell me about the growth of soccer in the Loco and in the state. You've been around coaching for a while. From the start of your career to now, we've seen so many more opportunities for these kids, and the game as a whole has grown tremendously since when you started. Just tell me about the growth of the game and the evolution of the sport down here over the years.
Oh, good Lord. So just to give you an idea, when I think my first year of coaching and teaching was 81, 82. And either that year or the following year was the first year that Buford High fielded a soccer team, and maybe the fourth or fifth year that there were soccer in South Carolina high school leagues. So we were clueless. The only reason I was asked to coach soccer is because as a PE teacher, I was teaching it in my class, and some kids come up to me one day and say, "Hey, can you do this?" I'm like, "Okay, whatever." We didn't have players with experience. I didn't have any experience, and it was a fiasco, for lack of a better word. Everybody we were playing had a 4 or 5 year head start on us. And you fast forward now, and you look at the product, the high school product that's on the field now in South Carolina and West. I've coached in the Upstate, I've coached in the Midlands, and I've coached in the Lowcountry, and it's all over. The coaches are better. The coaches are more knowledgeable. The coaches are more committed in general. The players are much more accomplished. The players are getting not only good coaching on their high school teams, but they're also getting quality coaching on clubs. I mean, what was a club back in 1980? What was a club? You know, come on. So there's just been a meteoric rise, and now we have kids from South Carolina playing in the MLS. You know, it's just – it's been really cool to watch. And if you can sit back and take in the overall picture and see where soccer's gone in the state of South Carolina, it's really nice.
Yeah, it really has been a meteoric rise. The sport and the popularity of the game has grown in an awesome way over these last few decades. And I think it will only grow further in the years to come. Well, Coach, one more thing left to do, and that's the penalty shootout, our new segment here on Loco FC. I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions, 5 penalty kicks, and no pressure, but let me know when you're ready.
All right. What kind of questions are these, West? Are they like math questions? Because I'm out on math.
Just some quick fire questions.
I majored in algebra in high school. It took me 4 years to get out of algebra, so no math questions.
There are no math questions here. I think you'll be fine. So let's go ahead and get started. Question number one, who is your favorite soccer team?
Who's my favorite? Other than Buford High right now, who's my favorite soccer team? Oh, well, the one team that I get most excited about watching is the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, great to see them back in the World Cup coming up this fall. It was tough to see them miss out back in 2018, but they've got some great youth on that squad, and Greg Berhalter's done a terrific job molding that group together, and excited to see them compete in Qatar coming up in November. Question
number
two.
That'll be exciting. That's the only team that when I watch him, I yell at the TV. So they got to be my favorite.
Hey, it's been a fun group so far, and excited to see them in the World Cup back in it this fall. And question number two: who is your all-time favorite soccer player?
The total package in terms of not only skill and knowing the game, but a deep down desire to win. I'd say that's a tie between Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey. I mean, those two dudes, they went to war. I can see pictures right now of Clint Dempsey with his eye swollen shut because he got hit in the head in the soccer game and not coming out. And Landon Donovan just playing so hard to the end of every match. That kind of stuff I admire.
and you talked about the Mount Rushmore of American soccer players, I think those two could very well be at the top, and then Donovan and Clint Dempsey. So great choices. Question three, what is your best soccer coaching memory?
Wes, when I coached my last game at Hilton Head and my soccer career was over, it was a playoff game. It was a home playoff game, and it was against a really good team from the beach, and maybe the third round or something like that. And so many of the former Hilton Head players were there. And after the game, when it was all over, the team and the former players came down, and we got in a big circle. And getting the opportunity to pray with those guys one more time. And we had a deal towards the end of the last several years, broke up a team huddle, whether it was after practice or after a game. I would shout out to the kids, what's my job? Like, as a coach, what's my job? What's my job? And their response would be to love us. And then I would say, what's your job? And they would say, to love each other. And to do that the last time with that last group and walk off the field, that was cool.
Man, that's very emotional. What an amazing moment.
That in senior night, because that year they included me in senior night. Oh my gosh, it was bringing out the crying towel.
What a touching moment. Outstanding. Question number four, what is the funniest or most embarrassing soccer coaching memory?
Believe it or not, at Dutch Fork, you know, the Dutch Fork-Irmo rivalry was really big time when I was there. I don't think it's so much now. Irmo's winning state championship after state championship, and we're a couple miles down the road, and we're very good too, but we're not winning state championships. We're good. So that rivalry, Wes, there would be 3,000 people in the stands. We're playing them at home, and we're pretty good, but I got a player out with a red card. He's sitting out of game. We're pretty good. They're really good. We got some brand new soccer balls to play our match balls, and we just lay an egg, and they beat us like really bad, like maybe 5-0 or 6-0. We just could do nothing right. So, I mean, what am I going to do in the locker room after the game? I'm going to yell and scream at these kids. You know, they feel bad enough as it is. They just lost. They just got hammered by their crosstown rival. So I'm standing there in the locker room, and I got these brand new game balls. I'm trying to figure out how am I going to shake these kids out of this. So I pull a pocket knife out of my pocket. And I hold a ball, and I start stabbing these balls, and I'm killing them. I said, guys, it's had to be the balls. It's not you. It had to be the balls. So I stabbed holes in all these brand new soccer balls and threw them away. And later on in the year, we beat them 1-0 at their place.
There you go. When in doubt, blame the balls. That's
another hilarious. Now, so there's a backstory. This is at Hilton Head. We have a kid who's been bitten on the foot by a copperhead. This is midseason. Walks out of his friend's house at night in the pine straw, gets nailed, bang, his leg swells up, it turns black. I go visit him in the hospital. Bro, they're going to cut your leg off. It looks so bad. They get the anti-venom in, he slowly gets better, but he's not playing yet. He's still actually on crutches for a while. In the interim, another kid finds a snake, of all places, in his house twice. So we're a little bugged out, we're a little bit wigged out about snakes. So we're getting ready to play Bluffton. And Chris McMurray, I'm at home before the game. Chris McMurray's at his house. And he texts me. He goes, Coach, you're not going to believe this. He goes, I just killed another copperhead by behind the house or by the pool or something. And I'm like, geez, what is it with these snakes this year? And I tell you, all right, Chris, just be careful. You know, could still be dangerous. Just cut his head off and, you know, throw him away. And then I thought, I texted him back and I said, no, Chris, here's what you're going to do. Make sure you got the snake's head cut off, but put him in a Ziploc bag and bring him in the locker room a little bit early before the game. So I got the whole team in the locker room. We're getting ready to play our crosstown rivals, you know, and we had a good run against them going at the time. And I'm talking to the players about fear, about not playing out of fear. So I ask them, are you afraid? And, you know, they're teenagers. They're going, no, Coach, we're not afraid. We're not afraid. Now, the kid with the who had got bitten is on crutches in the locker room, and the snake's hidden in a locker on the next row of lockers over there. So I said, okay, you're not scared? All right, close your eyes. Don't open your eyes till I tell you to. I'll walk around, grab the snake, spill it out on the floor right in front of the kid who got bitten by the snake. And I said, all right, open your eyes. And kids, they start screaming like little girls. This one kid is literally trying to climb a locker to get out of the way of this snake. And they look at it for a second, and it and everybody calms down. And I go, well, this is like my greatest pregame speech ever. I ask them, well, how come you're not afraid of the snake? Because you're all wigged out by snakes. Well, how come you're not afraid now? And they go, because his head's cut off. I said, well, go cut Bluffton's head off.
That is an all-timer right there.
Yeah, I don't know how bad we beat him that day, but we beat him pretty good.
There's motivation right there. That's an awesome. And then finally, last question. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a long list. But I tell you, this movie, I've seen a million times, and if it was on TV tonight, I would watch it again. Apollo 13. I think it's a great story about leadership and preparation ahead of time and getting the right people in the right positions to get a job done, overcoming adversity. Gene Kranz is a genius of leadership, and it really showed. I've done a lot of reading on the backstory to that, and how the fact that mission turned out to be a success was not luck. It was preparation.
Absolutely. A very inspirational movie. Great choice. And thank you so much, Coach, for coming on. That was outstanding. And it was a pleasure to speak with you today. And thank you for all that you do here in the Lowcountry and that you continue to do for all of us. And I wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks, Wes. We appreciate you guys at Loco. You're awesome. I'm very proud of you. Having known you since you were a teenager, I'm very proud of you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more here on Loco FC. All right. Well, our thanks to Coach Quinlan. What a fantastic interview. And he's done so many great things for our young men and women here in the Lowcountry, not just what he does coaching, but also with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And what an amazing mentor and leader that he has been. And what a special night to see him back on the sidelines one more time and go out with a win.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a great interview. You know, I've known Coach Quinlan for years when he was here in Hilton Head, back when I was starting my coaching career, and he's always been helpful. He's always been available. You know, we've always had friendly banter. Like I said, in the state championship run when we had it, he was one of the coaches I reached out to just to see, you know, hey, what do I need to do? And he was very instrumental in kind of helping us guide through that experience for us. And you know, he was resourceful, and he always has been. So it was a great interview. Great to see him back. Kind of glad he won't be there Tuesday night on the sidelines with Coach Rollins, because that would have been unfair. But it was awesome to see him back on the pitch for one more night.
Absolutely legend here in the Loco soccer scene. Well, we're run low on time, so let's get going to selecting our three stars. We'll choose an attacker, midfielder, and a goalie. I'll let you go first with your three girl selections. Who do you got this week?
Yeah, so for my attacker, it is Avery Alton from Hilton Head Prep. Again, we've spoken nonstop about the Prep girls this season and kind of just the season they've had. Avery has been a huge part of that in the attack. Hilton Head Prep's attack has been relentless and difficult to defend against, just as Christian Academy and countless other teams and throughout the season. You know, so she deserves to get some love. And again, she's going to be huge, a big factor come in the playoff run, the playoff race, as they look to go back to the state championship and claim that title. For my defender, I'm going to pick a team, Hilton Head Island High School Seahawk girls. The last three games, they have been on a run to kind of secure a playoff spot, but also done so against, you know, good teams. They beat May River 3-0 a few weeks ago before spring break, getting a shutout there. Then they turn around and beat a very tough and always difficult Buford squad 1-0. And then this past week on Wednesday, they got the revenge game against their rivals, Bluffton High School, in a very impressive and statement-making 4-1 win. You know, allowing one goal in three region games against local region rivals. That's just very good. So kudos to the girls' defense overall there. And then my keeper of the week is going to be Maddie Hahn. As we know, last night they officially were eliminated for the playoffs, but she has been phenomenal for May River girls this season. A clean sheet earlier this week against Hanahan, a big 8-0 non-region win. She made some great key saves in Bluffton, even though they ended up coming short there 2-1. And then last night against Lucy Beckham, you look at the scoreline, they lost 1-0. A big part of that is because Maddie had some great, amazing saves, you know. So she's had a great season. So we do want to give her some love there as our goalkeeper of the week.
Yeah, great call there. She's been outstanding in net for the Sharks. And let's go ahead to selecting my three boys, stars of the week. And for my attacker, I'm going back to the young man I mentioned at the top of the show, and that's Colton Ferris from Buford High School. I mean, what a performance against Hilton Head High in just a crucial game to keep his team's hopes alive. Scores two goals, and he was absolutely dominant. showed why he was such a star on the football field this year with just a superior athleticism. Mm-hmm. Just went beast mode all game long, you know, weaving through defenders and just outmatched the Hilton High defense, and also had an assist against Stahl this week in that big win over a quality 5A school. And they've really found that pure athlete who has carved out a heck of a role. And I expect the offense to run through him down the stretch. And for my defender, I'm going to go with one of your Mayor River Sharks, and I will pick Captain Austin Kessler, who has been a reliable anchor on that back line. And when you pick up a shutout in a big conference matchup against Lucy Beckham, I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to your goalie and your defense. And Kessler has always been at the forefront of the Shark squad, so I'm going to give him the honors this week. For my goalkeeper, I'm going to head over to Seabrook. This team is on the way out of the playoffs, but a big win nonetheless for Whale Branch. And I'm going to go with Philip English for making 9 saves and a huge 4-2 win over Cross. That's a big-time performance when the Warriors needed it. So outstanding game for English and this Whale Branch squad. And I expect this team to continue to fight harder through the rest of the way. And congratulations to Philip and all three of my boys' stars this week.
Absolutely. And great. You know, Whale Branch boys, hey, they're having a great season because of the history they have. And it's awesome. And all the players, you know. And so Tuesday night, we're going to have Austin Kessler versus Colin Ferry. So that should be a fun local FC matchup. So I'll give you guys the inside details on that one on our next podcast, which is going to be a playoff special podcast next week, early into the playoff week as we start breaking down our playoffs. So I'll keep you posted on that local FC matchup of the week between Ferries and Kessler. That'll be a fun one.
Yeah, and then let's get right into that. Looking ahead into this last week of the regular season, Mayor River Beaufort, I mean, that's going to be fantastic. I mean, lots on the line. Eagles looking to compete for that postseason berth. That one might be a game they need if they want to lock down that top 4 spot. Obviously, can't look past College and County. You have to beat them first, and I think they will, but also a chance for the Sharks to carry some momentum over into the playoffs, and I think it could be a fantastic game. You mentioned that Kessler versus Ferries matchup. That could be an absolute battle out there, and it's going to be a great game over there at the Tank. Blutt and Lucy Beckham being a big one there. It would be nice to avoid that number 4 seed if you can. Both teams, I think, should be motivated for that one. And on the girls' side, Lucy Beckman Bluffton, in a rematch of that epic penalty shootout win for the Bobcats a few weeks ago, should decide that all-important 2 seed home playoff game. And James Island Hilton had a good litmus test for the Seahawks to see where they are heading to the playoffs, and what an opportunity to pick up some steam if they can play a solid game against a James Island team that still has yet to be defeated in 2022. And then Hilton Head Christian Academy JP2 boys, and a big one. Hilton Head Christian Academy and the Golden Warriors at JP2. 1-2-0 in the first meeting. I expect another battle in this one between two outstanding Skeezah boys squads, and looking forward to seeing how the second round of that round robin is going to go between those two.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Christian Academy also plays BA as well next week, I believe. So Christian Academy, you know, just getting two big, tough matchups, and it's going to be a fun one between John Paul and Christian Academy. If John Paul wins, they clinch the region. If Christian Academy wins, then they are right there with John Paul, and I have no idea what the tiebreaker is in their region, so I'm not even going to comment on it, but it's going to be a fun matchup as well. And the last week of the season is always fun, and when you have playoff races, it just makes it that much more exciting as a fan. As your local FC co-host, it's exciting. As your Mid-River Boys soccer coach, you're still fighting for playoff positioning. It is going to be a very stressful week, and I'm not alone in this. Coach Rollins, Coach Newcomb over in Beaufort, Coach McCarthy, all these other coaches are still fighting for playoff spot positioning. We are going to have a very stressful but fun.
It's always a nervy one for the coaches and the players, but it's a fun one as a sportscast here and a reporter here for Loco Sports. What an awesome final week it's going to be here of the soccer regular season. And we can't wait for the playoffs. We'll have all the recaps, the highlights, and the coverage for you here on LocoSports.com. We'll be back in about a week with our playoff preview. Thanks for joining us here today for Loco FC. If you liked it, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you can never miss an episode. Get a notification whenever a new one is dropped, and be sure to listen to the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast for all the latest local sports news and key figures from the local sports scene beyond. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, go Loco!